Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. We're glad you're here to worship today, and we pray that as the Spirit moves among us, that we might all be changed by the power of God's grace in this place. My name is Dee Dee Roberts. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. My colleague, Nick Schimmer, will be our preacher this morning, and we pray that you'll receive a blessing. A couple of announcements as we begin. One is that if you'll take those pads that are located on the inside aisles of the pew and let us know some contact information, especially if you're a guest with us or if anything has changed, if you're a member, that would be very helpful to us. We'd like to be able to contact you and give you more information about the mission and ministry of Asbury and how we believe we can help you grow in your Christian faith. A couple of other volunteers. Next Sunday, immediately following worship at 10:45, we will be decorating for the Advent season. This year Thanksgiving's late, and there's not that cushion in there. So if any of you can stay and tote, you don't even have to be, I'm told, you don't have to be a decorator. You might be a fluffer or a toter. But we do need help both in the great, I keep calling it the great hall, the WAC, and here in the sanctuary. So please make a note of that. And also next Sunday is our Gratitude Sunday. So you should have received a letter and the opportunity to make a pledge this year. And those will be collected next Sunday during our worship service. So please remember that. And I think those are all the announcements that we have. So let us stand and offer one another greetings in the name of Jesus Christ.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. It can be found in your bulletin. We see light, hope, and joy.
We bring heart, soul, mind, and body.
We share blessings and fears.
We bring faith and doubt.
With all that we are and all that we have, let us worship God. Now please remain standing for the hymn of praise, I Come With Joy. We will sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5 on page 617 in your hymnal.
Christians are immune to God.
Ask all the children to come forward for children's moments.
Just aggravate you. Like, for instance, a bug bite, or maybe you've gotten the chicken pox. Has any of y'all gotten the chicken pox? Oh, good thing. Rachel has? Well, chicken pox is not very fun because you have like little itches. That's a good word. Itches all over your body. I had them in my hair. I had them on my arms, had them on my legs, I had them on my belly. And all I did was itch. And I was waiting for the day that those itches would stop itching. And I was really grateful for calamine lotion. Do y'all remember calamine lotion? Yes. And it worked for a little bit, and then they would start itching again. Well, today's story that Brother Nick is going to talk about today is a story about 10 lepers. And they had things that kind of like are chicken pox. They're little itches. They're not very fun. And the problem was is that those 10 lepers were not allowed to come inside of the city walls. And they had to stand outside. And one day, Jesus was coming through, and they stood their distance from Jesus. But they knew who Jesus was, and they knew that Jesus would heal them. And he said, "Mercy on you, Jesus, please heal us." And what happened? They were healed. And they went, and they were so excited because all these little itches on their body were gone. It didn't bother them anymore. And they went into the city to say, "Yay, praise the Lord, Jesus healed us." And you know what happened? Out of those 10 lepers, one of them came back and said thank you to Jesus for what he did to him. That right there is gratitude. He was so thankful and so grateful. Because you know what, guys? They were not allowed in the city. They were talked about. But most of all, these things were bothering them. So he went to the city, and so he went back and he said, "Thank you." How many times do we have something that bothers us or something that we need something for that we forget to say thank you for? A lot of times, right? There's a lot of things that we need to say that we're thankful for. Well, I want you to start today. Those little things, lunch, when somebody puts lunch in front of you, what can you say? Thank you. Thank you. For a sucker that Miss Laura gives you, what can you say?
Thank you.
Very much so. For stuff that you need to say thank you for, I want you to start thinking about it. And when you do, I want you to think about that one leper that came back. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today, and we are so thankful and grateful for all the blessings that you give us each and every day. Help us be grateful to our family and our friends and those in the community and say thank you for what you have given us and let them know all about your blessings. We ask this in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Good morning. It is a joy to be with all of you this morning. It is a joy to hear the Joy Choir this morning. And as we talk about what we are thankful for, if you're thankful and you know it, join me in prayer. Gracious, loving God, we give thanks to you for the opportunity to come together this morning as a community of believers, as a family of fellowship, to glorify you, to sing to you with great joy. But God, this morning we also come to you in a different way. For each one of us, it's a little bit of hurt, a little bit of confusion, a little bit of loss. And while for each of us that is different, it is individual and it is personal, God, you know each one of our hearts better than we know ourselves. So we come this morning seeking to be restored in your glory, in your love, and in your mercy. God, this morning we pray for our leaders around the world. We pray for them that you will place a mighty hand on them, God, and lead them to justice, to mercy, and to peace for all. That they will make decisions that are truly through your lens and not through selfish interests. God, this morning we pray for our brothers and sisters around the globe, for our community of faith. Some, just like us, can wake up and freely walk to church and just be together and love that fellowship. But there are many who wake up this morning in places where it is not safe to follow you. It is dangerous to preach your word. And we ask this morning, God, that you are with them, that you provide a hedge of protection around them so that they may move through this world, a world that seeks, God, in its broken nature to push you to the margins. We ask that you use your community of faith to restore that. We are here to answer that call. God, this morning, we also pray for us right here at Asbury United Methodist Church that we continue to be that hope on the hill, that we continue to be that beacon of light that people can look to and say, now that is something I want to be part of. God, use us in whichever way you see fit. Through our gifts, our talents, use us, God, to move this world in a way that glorifies you. To restore us into that right image of our Savior Jesus Christ. And God, bring us together in voice this morning as we pray to you our Lord's Prayer by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to receive our tithes and offerings, the commitment cards have gone out, right? And as Pastor Deedee said, you will consider your pledge, but I also want you to consider the other form that will come with that, which is the many opportunities to serve here at Asbury through many of our great missions and ministries. Please prayerfully consider that as well. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you for this opportunity. You have blessed us with so much, more than we deserve and more than we will ever realize. So I ask this morning that as you are working in and through our hearts, that you help us move into a place of complete trust, God, complete trust in you, knowing that the resources we give are going to be used fully for the benefit of your kingdom, God, because you will work through it for what is right. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen. Thank you.
Say after listening to all this goodness. But I was asked to come and speak to you a little bit this morning about gratitude. I spoke last week, but then I thought, well, if there's people in the 8:30 that were in 10:45, I can't say the same thing. So I had to change it up some. So today I want for us to just kind of echo what we've already heard. Every time, at any season in our life, there are difficult times. We can talk about gratitude all day long and how we should be thankful, but people have all kinds of things that they come in through these doors and out in our community with which they struggle, sometimes very visible if it's some sort of physical illness, but sometimes it's emotional and an invisible illness that they suffer with. But have you ever been so excited about something that you couldn't wait to go and tell someone? I probably should have read it. I didn't know that we were talking about the lepers today, but this is one of my favorite stories. But they were so happy with what God had done that they could not help but go out and just praise the Lord and tell everyone that they came in contact with what he had done for them and their healing. And that's actually what I wanted to talk to you about today, is one of the things that I'm so thankful for is healing. I have been healed from many a great illness. So 6 years ago, while we were attending here, I was diagnosed with breast cancer and also a brain tumor that was totally separate. I just apparently have an affinity for those things. So I went through all of my treatments here, and I see so many faces out here who were such encouragers to me. I got prayers and food and cards, and this church was just such a blessing to me. And then 4 years ago, I had the brain tumor resected, thought that that was gone. But then last November, ironically, during a season of thankfulness, I was told that it had come back. And I didn't know what that meant for me or what my future would hold or if I would, you know, die from a brain tumor as opposed to breast cancer. But I'm happy to tell you that it's stable. Now, I don't know what the future is still with it, but I'm thankful that in this season of my life that I can be there for people who are also struggling. I have a couple of people that I'm very close to right now who are dying. And I'm happy in this season to lend them some of my peace so that they can feel comfort as they face eternity. And I'm thankful for so many other things, too, like all of you. I'm thankful that this church has so many gifts, not just in the treasury, but of their time and talent that they give. I mean, you've heard such beautiful ministries this morning through song and bells and our children singing. And I know that if all of you have been walking this gratitude path and listing those five things every day that you're thankful for, that surely you have come up with something that you can share from your time, your talent, and your treasure to give to enrich our church and our community. There's so many people outside of these walls that need our love and our care, and I hope that you will take that with you during this season and always to enrich your faith and the ministries that Asbury has to give. Thank you.
This time, please stand for the hymn of meditation. There's a song in the air on page 249 in your hymnal.
Thank you.
Have a seat. Nothing wrong with a Christmas song in mid-November, is there? How many of you have your tree up already? I will be joining that soon, I promise you. Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke. It is chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. This is the New Living Translation, so it will go right along with the Bible that is in your pew if you wish to follow along, or you can sit there and hear the Word of God. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, there are few things in this world that give me greater anxiety than just a disorganized mess. If I walk into a room and it is chaotic, I shut down. I can't handle it. I cannot handle disorganization. And I will tell you, as a parent of 3 young kids and being married to a wife who is crafty, I deal with a lot of disorganization in my house. Full counters, toys everywhere. I have to walk over Barbie, Batman, and a soccer ball just to get to the bathroom. And lo and behold, as I'm making my way across, there's that one Lego that happens to find the bottom of my foot that wasn't there 2 seconds ago. And so, needless to say, I am always looking for new ways to stay organized. I am an organized person. If you'll ask my wife, there's a big difference between being organized and being clean. I don't believe there's any difference. But I'm always looking for a new way to be organized. And given my affinity for Netflix, I came across this show. And you may have heard of it, but it is called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. How many of you know this show? Has anybody seen it? 2 people. Okay. The launch had about 20. I just want you to know. Let me tell you a little bit about this show because it's really neat. Marie Kondo is a Japanese woman, and what she is an organizational guru. And what she will do is she will come to your house for what I imagine is a pretty nominal fee, and she will help get your life organized. And she does it with a very, very simple philosophy. You go into a room of your house, and whether it's your bedroom or your kitchen or whatever it might be, and you take each individual item and you hold it in your hands and you ask yourself one simple question. And for the 2 of you that have seen the show, you know what that question is. The question you ask is, does this bring me joy? And if the item brings you joy, if you truly feel something when you hold it, then you hang on to it. But what you do is you have to find a place for it in your house, and that becomes its permanent place. You hold on to it. If the item does not bring you joy, then you very simply just get rid of it. So whatever it might be, whether it's clothes or just items you've collected in your life, you ask yourself that one simple question. What it does is it seeks to connect you with these things in your life emotionally. See, if the item doesn't bring you joy, then there's no emotional connection to it. How many of you have that drawer in your house that's just full of old phone chargers and old lines and all that, and that phone from 1995 that we're never going to use again? We all have that drawer. That is a drawer that you would get rid of, right? Because it doesn't bring you joy. And so she's built an entire organizational system on what is a very spiritual feeling, the feeling of joy. And if you watch the show, it's incredible to see not only the process, but to see how much people are actually willing to let go of. And it makes us realize just how much we attach ourselves to things that bring us temporary happiness instead of a deep sense of joy. Temporary happiness, deep-rooted joy. Let's talk about that for a minute. There are so many different ways we could go with the scripture this morning. We can talk about the region that Jesus was in, why he was passing through, the fact that he healed foreigners, or the fact that the one man that was grateful was a Samaritan. We could do a multitude of sermons on those different things. There's so many rabbit holes that we could go down, but I want us to instead take a very basic approach to this story and focus on the main idea and see it through the lens of just one word, and that word is joy. See, Jesus heals 10 lepers on that day. Keep in mind, 10 lepers who asked to be healed. And after the healing occurs, all of them move on, with the exception of one. One man out of 10 comes back to Jesus, realizing the magnitude of what had just occurred. A disease that quite possibly he had been afflicted with his entire life is wiped away in an instant. And he is made whole. He is restored to health. All of the pain, misery, and rejection he faced, gone immediately. But why was he the only one to turn around, the only one to drop to his knees and give thanks to God? Because the rest of the group, the nine, had confused two very distinct feelings that we all confuse ourselves sometimes, and that's joy and happiness. They were happy, sure. They were happy because they had been healed. Their worldly affliction, or at least this worldly affliction, was over. They had access to the city again, like Miss Laura said so well in her children's moment. And I have no doubt that they were very, very happy. The problem was their happiness lied in the healing, not in the healer. That's temporary happiness. That's how it works. We find happiness in a result, a circumstance, an item, something coming into or going out of our life, but that feeling, that happiness is fleeting. And it's hard to see it at the time because that feeling of happiness can be so overwhelming. I imagine, though I have no experience, being healed of leprosy would have to be a pretty euphoric feeling, but it wasn't permanent. See, that shine was going to wear off because it wasn't rooted in real joy. That happiness, the same happiness those nine felt, is the result of things that will happen to us when circumstances affect us that are outside of ourselves. Think about it. Those same occurrences that bring you happiness, the feeling that you of the new job you get today, could be pain when that job is eliminated 10 years from now. You know that old crushed velvet shirt you have from your disco days? Or maybe if you're more my age, it's the flannel shirt from your grunge rock days that you wore a few times. Hold that in your hands and ask it if it still brings you joy today. It's a silly example, but we hang on to things that brought us temporary happiness at one time. So happiness is so circumstantial. And what makes us happy and gives us comfort could quickly change because the world changes so quickly around us. What Jesus does say to the one man who came back is, stand up and go. It is your faith that made you well. It was your gratitude, not gratitude that you were healed, but that you had gratitude for the one who healed you. His change had nothing to do with physical health. It had to do with a change in his heart, a turn towards faith, an understanding that something bigger was occurring. Yeah, he'd been cured of a horrible disease, but he had also been cured of something much worse than that, and that was a diseased heart. He came to the realization of that what God had done for him And he was overcome with joy. He was overcome with gratitude. See, this was Christ's earthly mission, to teach and show the transformational power of God, not so we could be in awe, not so we could bow down in fear, but so we could see where the source of our peace and our joy truly comes from. In John 15, 11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." See, that's what joy is. It's an inner state of trusting and loving God, and it dwells in each of us. Not for the things God will do or that we want him to do, but for what he has done. What he did for us through Christ in his earthly ministry and on the cross. Joy, real joy that occurs in us, is grounded in a God that is never changing. That's why it's so easy for us to confuse happiness and joy. So how do we fully understand joy? How do we take that Marie Kondo approach to understand the difference between happiness and joy? First, we pray. We pray and give constant thanks and glory to what God has done in our lives. For all of us, no matter where we are in life, no matter how we feel about where we are in life, God has already done more for us than we could ever possibly think of asking for. The healed man fell on his face at the feet of Christ, not because he had been healed, but because something had occurred that was far beyond his comprehension, and all he could do was give thanks. See, God is doing that with all of us. He is working in ways we cannot understand to bring about change in our lives we aren't even thinking about right now. Changes that when they occur, we will look back and we will say, "Wow, I never saw that coming, but I sure did need it." Second, we seek to imitate Christ in all we do. Think back to that passage in John. "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you." Jesus wanted his joy to live in and through us, to bring joy and love to those around us. To truly imitate Christ is to take this joy we feel and not just keep it to ourselves, but to proclaim it as true disciples. Jesus calls all of us to share our story, to tell others of the life-changing power of our faith. People are beat up, guys. This world is tough right now. It is divided, it is polarized, and it is cold. We have a message that is not polarizing. It is unifying. It is a message of love that, if we share, gets right to the heart of that great commission Jesus called us all to do. And lastly, and maybe most importantly, we trust. We trust in God fully, and it is with that trust, through the joy we have experienced in our relationship with him, that we are faithful givers of our resources. We give out of the overflow of our blessings. Blessings realized because no matter how much we give of our time and our talents and our gifts and resources, we can never outgive God. The blessings that are heaped upon us are so abundant that we can never begin the process of repaying. But it doesn't mean that through faithfulness, we cannot seek to impact his kingdom with our means. In 2 Corinthians 9, Paul writes, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that all things and all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. See, life's a pendulum. At the point I'm at in life, I watch a lot of cartoons. And so I have tried to show my kids the classic cartoons, right? Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner, and you guys are with me, right? The good stuff. We call it the good stuff. There's always this moment in these cartoons where you have the anvil that swings down, and Wile E. Coyote ducks out of the way, right? And what does happen the moment he pops back up? That pendulum comes back around and catches him on the backside, right? That's life. Life is a pendulum. And that is how happiness works. You will have moments where things are going so amazingly well, and then something will swing back and catch you on the backside. But joy is found in the comfort of knowing we are loved unconditionally by a mighty God that knows this world is going to be hard on us, that it's going to seem unfair, and that it's also going to mislead us. That is why he is always there. God is the constant in a world that changes by the minute. And that comfort you feel in knowing that, that is real joy, my friends. Joy that is genuine and authentic. Joy that will always be with you through all of your disorganization, all the moving parts of your life. God, Jesus, love, forgiveness. See, your faith is the one thing that you can hold and never have to question if it brings you joy. It serves as the foundation for the sense of gratitude we feel in our soul. So as we continue to move through this season of gratitude, I pray that we all center our hearts on the eternal joy of knowing we have a God that loves, fights, and never leaves us. That makes it very easy to be the one and not the nine. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
At this time, please stand and join me in an affirmation of faith. It can be found in your bulletin or on page 881 in your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
As we prepare to sing our final hymn of the day, the hymn of commitment, the joy I feel in my heart is abundant, and I hope it's abundant in yours. I would like to take this moment to invite you, if the Holy Spirit has spoken with you and moved you today, I would like to invite you forward to join us in a time of prayer at the kneelers if you would like. If you want Pastor Dee Dee or I to pray with you, we would love to do that. Just hold out your hand and we will join you. Or maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken with you and said, hey, today's a great day to go up and reaffirm my faith. We'd love to do that with you. Or maybe you've been visiting for some time and you say, you know what, this Asbury place, this is pretty great. God's doing amazing things. I want to be part of the family. We'd love to do that as well. However the Holy Spirit has moved you, let's join our voice together in our final hymn of commitment, which is number 568, Christ for the World We Sing. It's been a blessing to be with you today. That joy that's in your hearts, that permanent joy, take it with you. Take it with you to lunch today, and take it with you tomorrow, wherever you're going, work, school, whatever you have. Take that joy of God with you and reflect it in all that you do. Go in peace.